Case number 13-5053, Life Extension Foundation, Inc., Appellant v. Internal Revenue Service. Ms. Kuhn for the appellant, Ms. Wolffinger for the appellant.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Nancy Ortmeier Kuhn, and I represent the appellant, Life Extension Foundation, in this case. This case is very straightforward. The District Court applied the wrong standard of deference to the Internal Revenue Service and gave too much deference to the affidavit submitted by the IRS. The Court applied a standard that is appropriate for national security cases, and this is not a national security case. There are no classified documents here. There was no Vaughn Index. There wasn't any type of review of the documents in camera by the lower court. 67 documents were withheld in their entirety. Two affidavits are public, but two affidavits were submitted in camera. And the government further obfuscated this case by submitting a brief that was highly redacted. Almost 25% of its legal argument looked like this, completely blacked out. Life Extension Foundation is a public charity and has as its sole mission funding scientific research. Yet the Internal Revenue Service has proposed revocation. The foundation cannot figure out why, and this search for the truth has not produced any answers, but has certainly resulted in more questions. As a public charity, the foundation must be completely transparent, as it has been for the past 35 years. The Internal Revenue Service recognized this foundation as a public charity for 35 years. Yet an informant filing IRS Form 211, and IRS Form 211 is not an express assurance of confidentiality. This informant requests a percentage of any taxes to be collected against this charity, and that's a threshold of $2 million, Your Honor. The informant is hiding behind a wall of silence facilitated by the government. As I said, not even a bond index was filed. Half the affidavits were filed in camera. The foundation has a meaningful opportunity to challenge any erroneous factual allegations made by this informant, and the foundation has been denied that right. There are three standards of deference that have emerged in FOIA cases.
Just out of curiosity, if your IRS situation is revoked, do you have a remedy, don't you?
Yes, we are currently in D.C. District Court fighting the revocation, Your Honor. That is a matter of public record. Two standards of deference apply when classified documents are requested, as set forth in the recent opinion that was issued by this court last March in the ACLU versus CIA case. And there's a third, a lower standard that has been applied by the courts in cases that do not impact national security. But that lesser standard has not been explicitly set forth by this court, and we are here to ask the court to do so, so that this mistaken level of deference does not happen again. The Supreme Court in...
Do I take your position to be that you are operating on the assumption, which you stated here, that there is a person who is an informant, but the government has not conceded that, have they?
That's correct, not in so many words, although in the documents that were released and the revenue agent's work papers, it indicated that a Form 211 had been filed, and that is the form that an informant uses.
So your purpose is to discover who such an informant, if such an informant exists. Your purpose here is to discover who that is?
Not to discover who it is. It's to discover the factual evidence that that informant provided to the government, because obviously that factual evidence is incorrect, and we have not had a chance
to. And you can litigate that in the case in the district court.
No, you can't. We have not been able to discover that information in the district court as well.
Well, you can discover, you can litigate in the district court the question of whether the revocation is proper or not, which would depend on what information the government has.
But we filed a Freedom of Information Act request to find out the information that the foundation is entitled to under the Freedom of Information Act and under Section 6103, Your Honor.
And you didn't answer my question. You can test the government's position in the district court.
As far as discovering this factual information from the informant, it's possible. We are hoping to get it through the Freedom of Information Act. We have established legal rights to obtain the information through the Freedom of Information Act, Your Honor.
Well, of course, that goes. I'm just curious, what other remedies you had? But go ahead.
The Supreme Court in Environmental Protection Agency versus Mink did apply a lower standard of deference for non-classified documents in the FOIA case, and that case involved both classified and non-classified documents. The Supreme Court did not specifically discuss this lower standard, but it implicitly trusted the government regarding the classified documents, but then required extensive verification regarding non-classified documents. The Supreme Court in the Department of Justice versus the Reports Committee for the Freedom of Press held that normally an agency is not entitled to any deference in its judgment as to whether or not it has met its burden of proof under FOIA. Here, the lower court cited to Larson versus Department of State, Wolf versus the Central Intelligence Agency, Hayden versus the National Security Agency, Halperin versus the CIA. All of these cases were requesting documents that were classified or documents that would compromise national security. Yet the lower court cited those cases for its holding, the lower court's holding, that affidavits are accorded a presumption of good faith. All of the cases cited by the lower court regarding non-classified documents were distinguishable or were cited for a different principle, as we explained in our brief. The vast majority of the cases that apply the level of deference used by the lower court in this case are classified document cases. In Stevenson versus the Internal Revenue Service, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals considered this very issue involving a taxpayer requesting documents from his IRS exam. And the Fifth Circuit concluded that the affidavits submitted by the IRS were an insufficient basis for the FOIA disclosure determinations and required all of the disputed documents to be reviewed in camera by the district court. In fact, the Fifth Circuit noted the different standards of deference in two footnotes. In footnote 15, and I quote here, "In the area of FOIA disclosure of national security or classified information, there appears to be a stronger presumption in favor of reliance upon agency affidavits," end quote. And then in footnote 16, the Fifth Circuit cited four cases, one from the First Circuit, one from the Second Circuit, and two cases from the Eighth Circuit, and stated, again I quote, "Inasmuch as they indicate reliance on affidavits alone outside the area of national security classifications is adequate, we respectfully disagree," end quote. Life Extension Foundation respectfully disagrees as well. The IRS and the lower court in this case did not create an adequate factual record to satisfy the FOIA requirements of disclosure. It is the government's burden of proof, not the taxpayers. The court's level of deference to the IRS was inappropriate. The standard should be trust, but definitively verify. Generalized affidavits without a Vaughan index are insufficient. Nonprofit organizations are required to be very transparent and to disclose most information, including their tax returns. Yet Life Extension Foundation was not given enough information to be able to adequately respond to the government's arguments. The government keeps arguing that the foundation did not make allegations of bad faith, so the government's affidavits should be given great deference. But that is not the standard. The government has the burden of proof. The standard for the release of documents that are not related to national security is no or very limited deference. The court should trust the government's affidavits, but they should be definitively verified. The government has to do more than generalized affidavits. Thank you. I would like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Gretchen Wolfinger for the Internal Revenue Service. The district court in this case did review the declarations of the Internal Revenue Service under the proper standards. Although in its general introduction discussing general FOIA standards, it indicated that the expertise of an agency should be respected or deferred to, if you look at each individual exemption under which the Internal Revenue Service withheld documents, the court did in fact apply the proper standards, and the declarations submitted by the agency were specific and detailed enough to meet those standards. So the district court in fact correctly determined that the Internal Revenue Service had withheld documents, both as to the information on the public record and the information that was submitted under seal. With regard to the point that there was no Vaughan Index, the declarations were specific enough so that the foundation knew exactly what was being withheld and on what basis. For example, with regard to the 6103 material, the declarant stated that it was parts of actual tax returns. Actual tax returns are, in fact, the quintessential 6103 material, which is confidential. He also stated in his declaration that he had, and I'd like to, if you'll give me 1 minute, state, this is Joint Appendix 35, paragraph 13B, I have concluded that none of the provisions of the code authorized the release of this information. So he considered all the provisions under which the 6103 material could have been released and determined that it was not releasable. With regard to the attorney-client privilege and deliberative process exemptions that the Internal Revenue Service claimed, the declarations again were specific and detailed and provided a roadmap to the foundation as to what was being withheld. There were essentially two documents at issue, and the declarations described the circumstances under which they were created, the information that was contained in those documents, and why they were being withheld. With regard to the declarations that were submitted under seal and ex parte, I believe our brief discusses that in detail and is self-explanatory. And I would note, although in light of Judge Edwards' earlier comment, I'm somewhat reluctant to say that reviewing documents submitted under FOIA is subject to an abuse of discretion standard. And although district courts are often, I guess, found to have abused their discretion, in this case, it was clear from the declarations what the documents were and that there was no need for the documents to be reviewed in camera by the district court. It is up to the court's discretion, and the court does view those declarations which discuss the documents, and then the court makes a decision whether or not it feels that in-camera review would aid in its decision-making process. The district court didn't feel that that was the case here, and so did not do it. And in fact, as I've stated repeatedly, the documents were sufficient to support that decision on his part. Are there any questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Your Honors.
Ms. Kuhn has...
1 minute. Okay. Thank you. Just to comment a little bit about the affidavits. Regarding the tax returns, the statements in the affidavits were conclusory. There were no form numbers of the tax returns. That's certainly disclosable, just if it's a Form 1120 or Form 1040, a form whatever it is, a Form 990. No years given regarding what returns, what years these were from, that's certainly disclosable. Regarding the deliberative process privilege, the affidavit regarding Exemption 5 and the attorney-client work product privilege and deliberative process was very conclusory. 52 pages were withheld in full. The affidavit was at most 8 pages. There were two documents. The extent of the description of one of the documents was that it is a Form 886-A, which I know to be a revenue agent's report, and it's only identified in the affidavits as being pages 285 to 329, and that it is a draft report. That's the extent of the description. I see my time is up. Thank you.
Thank you. The case will be submitted.